Well, I got a hot new word I want to share with you tonight, straight from the throne of God. Probably the best message I've ever preached in my life. At least in the top five. So get your Bibles out. I want to share this with you. 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, I think is where we want to go tonight, start out with. Now, y'all have to, you know, I'm testing this out on y'all tonight. Testing the waters here, so I don't really know where I'm going with this message, but I just got this revelation in my heart, and I want to see if I can put words to it. Now, don't go to 2 Corinthians. Go to the Gospel of Matthew first. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, I believe. And as soon as you get to Matthew 16, go to Matthew 18. Because it's not 16. Matthew 18:19. See, I have... The dyslexia kicks in because 19 could be 16 and then, you know, so I get it all wrong. Anyway, no excuses. It says, again, I say to you, Jesus is speaking. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, I want to just kind of give you a little bit of simplicity here and just ramble a little bit till I get on track, but most of the time when we think about this scripture, we think about this scripture being in the sense that I'm going to get an agreement with Frankie. Frankie, I need you to pray with me about this matter. So this is what's going on. And you know, so get in agreement with me, right? That's usually the way we think about the scripture. We get or your husband and wife and you pray together or whatever. You're finding somebody say, look, you know, this is going on in my life and I need you to help me, da, 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 right? Well, the other day I got to thinking about because of this message I've been preaching about mirror, mirror on the wall and about how many times we look at the mirror and then look back at ourselves and we look into ourselves and we see our faults and our, you know, our imperfectness and our problems and we look at that. And so when you look at that, you can't move forward in life because all you're doing is seeing your mistakes. You're seeing your faults. You're seeing what you think God is looking at you like saying, well, you know, that's what's wrong with Frank. Right? I mean, y'all with me? Do y'all do that? Or is it just me that thinks it that way sometimes? In this house, y'all over there? Okay. You know what I mean? You it's like the devil has it set up that it's like almost like on a... you know, have you ever noticed your computer? It kind of scares me sometimes on your computer. If you're trying to find something and you look something up, you know, you look up fishing reels. And then over on the side, all these little things come up that are like related to fishing. And they're trying to get you to buy them, right? It's almost like the devil does that with you. The minute you go to pray and sincerely ask God for something, he throws up this thing over here on the side to try to tell you why you're not going to receive that from God because he wants you to look over at that. And the moment you look over at that, then, you know, you're staring at that and then you begin to believe, well, this is why God's not going to answer the prayer. So he cut your legs out from under you already. And so then you find yourself in a place of doubt rather than in a position of faith. Are y'all with me? Y'all follow me on this? Okay. So I got to thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about about how we do this, and I was thinking about how, you know, I was telling you, you know, you turn the mirror around on the backside, you need to look at the Word of God and what the Word of God says. But then I began to develop it more and begin to think more about it and begin to tear into it and chew on it. And I got to thinking about, well, what does God say about you? Okay, not just what the promises are in the Scriptures, that says that you could have on this earth, but what does God's word say specifically about you? And so as I began to look at this and I've been to develop this in my mind, and I was just chewing on it and saying, come on, Holy Ghost, show me this. What's going on here? Why? You know, it's like, I'm like a chicken scratching in the dirt. When I start finding something in the Word, I'm like, okay, what are you saying over here, Lord? And I'm chasing it around. And so then I got to thinking about, okay, well, if this is what is God thinking about us? And then I kind of took a sidetrack, and I got over here and I got to thinking about faith. And I got to thinking about how I've taught y'all for years and years about faith, that God created the heavens and the earth and all by faith, right? Because, you know, Hebrews tells us the worlds were framed by faith. You go into Genesis, you look at it. God spoke. There was nothing there. Now listen, this is really good. There was nothing there. And God spoke and said, light be, and light was, right? There was nothing there. It's void. That's what it says. On the face of the earth, there was darkness and void. There was nothing. Void means void. Hello? I mean, you can't get much worse than void. It means there's nothing there. And God, listen to what I'm saying. God exercised faith and brought it all about. See, we think about faith being something that we have to produce. And I use that word sometimes about talking about you speak it out of your mouth, you hear it with your ear, then your heart produces faith. But it's faith is not something that you produce like you produce a tear. Right? You're whatever, you're sad or pepper gets in your eye or you're cutting up an onion and your eye makes a tear, right? You don't say, tear come. I think I need to cry. My eyes are burning. Your body just does it, right? Well, a lot of times we're thinking about faith like that, that we're trying to, okay, I'm going to believe God. Oh! We're trying to ooch out some faith to believe God for his promise. We're trying to work to produce faith because we really want whatever we're praying about to come to pass. And so we know that faith is a key, so we're trying to make faith happen. Okay? So then, as I was saying about this, okay, wait a minute. God used faith to create the world. So I thought, wow, let's wait a minute now. If I want to get an agreement, to get an agreement with my wife's a great thing, but if I'm in agreement with God, forget about the human level. If I get in agreement with God and what he's saying about me, then how can I go wrong? I've got the God who makes worlds by faith, and if I could get in agreement with God's faith about me, there'd be nothing that wouldn't be possible, right? Let me show you this. Now go to 2 Corinthians. So y'all don't think, just write me off and think I'm crazy here in a minute. Let me just develop this a little bit. I'm just telling you the thought process of how I got here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Okay, God took me, just here, he took you and he took me. This is so good. Wow. Okay, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here tonight, and you know, you just have to go look them up because I'm just, as they pop in my head, I'm telling you. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you were once without God, you were lost. You had no chance. You were out of the covenants and promises of God. There weren't any way you were going to get it. You were lost in sin, right? And he, by faith, said, anyone that believes that my son is the son of God, anyone that believes in him, he will become a new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. So God Almighty, there was this place, he was sitting there, Frank, that he came up with this idea. He said, man, I'm going to send Jesus to earth. And I'm going to be in him. He's going to be the God-man. I'm going to be in him. And he's going to come to earth. And then he's going to pay the price for all the sins of the world. And then everyone that believes in him, that he is the Son of God and confesses him with their mouth and believes in them with their heart and produces that faith that I've already got in them, that created, believes in him, boom, I'm going to wash away all their sins and they're going to be a new creation. Now, is that faith or what? Because if God would have looked at us, not in the eyes of faith, he'd have said, there's no way in hell they're going to make it. He'd have looked at us and said, humanity, they couldn't even make it 9 chapters in the Bible. I had to destroy them all. You see what I'm saying? If God was looking at me, this is really good. If God was looking at me and the potential that I, Robert Richards, as a human being could produce, he's going to look at me and say, you'll never make it. But he didn't look at me that way. God looked at me and you through the eyes of faith. Philippians 1 and 6 says that he's going to perfect the good work that concerns us. Jude 24 says he's going to present you faultless and blameless before the presence of God. So by faith, he's looking at you and saying, look, this is where Dixie is tonight, but I see by faith that as she believes in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, I see that I'm going to get her from where she's at right now, make her a new creation, and then she's going to be presented before God, and everybody's going to say, woo! In other words, God has more faith in us to make it than we have in ourselves. Why? Because we're looking at the mirror. We're looking at the mirror, which is telling us our shortcomings, our faults, our problems. When we should be looking at God saying, wow, somebody's believing in me. I'm glad it's you, Daddy. I know I'm a mess right now, but you said you could get me from out of the covenants and promises of God into the new covenant, into the kingdom of God, and then you could present me over here faultless and blameless. So, Lord, I'm going to get in agreement with your faith because you say you can get me from here to there. Okay, now, Lord, how do you want to do it? I'm in agreement with you. God believes in us a lot more than we believe in ourselves. It's amazing to me that God looked at void and he could see the earth. But he's a God that operates in faith. God calls those things that are not as though they are. And they're created. And he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to be able to see not what we're looking at in ourselves, but to be able to look at and see what he's seeing in us. That you're more than a conqueror. That you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be able to look in the mirror and say, wow, hello, overcomer. Hello, more than conqueror. But we look in the mirror and say, oh, you're not going to make it. Who are you? Because we're looking at the mirror. We're looking at ourselves. We're analyzing ourselves instead of looking at what the Word of God says about us. Can you imagine that? God's looking at you saying, Bill, you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. That's the faith of God speaking. How that will amazingly come to pass in life if we'll just get in agreement with it. If we'll just start to say what God says about us. You say, but that's not me. I'm not really that. Excuse me, you're just looking in the mirror. You're just looking at your faults. You're just looking at your insecurities. God says you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. That's what God says about you. God says he's going to work out everything in your whole life and bring it all to pass. Now let's read on down here a little bit more. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation. God, by faith, looked down and said, wow, this is a great plan. I, by faith, believe that when people believe in Jesus, I'm going to reconcile them to me, and then I'm going to give them the word to go out and tell everybody about. These are the same humans. This is the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. These are the same humans that God said, just flood the earth. Get rid of them. The same humans. You know, I don't know if y'all have noticed this. There's some sorry people in the world. There's some people that I don't believe that Jesus should have died for. I'm just saying, like, I can't believe, Lord, you died on the cross for that guy. That guy's an idiot. Excuse me, I have these thoughts. That's why I'm not perfect and I'm working my way. Jesus, I believe he's going to get me where I need to be. But I'm just saying, there's some sorry individuals, some wicked, sick people on the face of this earth. But you know, God doesn't look at them that way. He looks at them with potential that if they would just confess with their mouth and believe in their heart in Jesus, he'd make them a new creation, and then all things would go to pass, and then all things could be that way. Now, are they going to do it all? No. But that doesn't mean that God's faith isn't always there for them if they would just believe in it. I have this person that I've been visiting with, and I know God's going to set up the kill shot. And it ain't quite there yet. And he told me today, he said, I know my sins are too great, and I know where I'm going. I said, really? I thought he was going to say heaven. He says, no, I know I'm going to hell. And I said, really? I said, that's going to be rough. And that's all I said. I just left it. I let him stew on that for a while. And I wanted to say, you know, you're a real idiot. You don't even know what you're saying out of your mouth. But I'm saying that's where people are. People get, you know. Like I said, the kill shot's coming. But it blew me away that was what he would say out of his mouth. Well, that's what the devil feeds you. He wants to keep you in darkness. Just tell them all the lies. Tell them all the things that are wrong. Tell them all the things that aren't going to work. You follow what I'm saying? But to get in agreement with God, now you're standing there saying what he says about you. You're not even dreaming it up. You're disagreeing with him. Because he's looking at you in the eyes of faith. And he's saying, man, I took all the old's gone. All the past is gone. I've made you a new creation. Everybody say new creation. New creation. You believe that? A new creation. You're a God-man also walking on this earth. A man who has God on the inside of him just like Jesus. You're not the Son of God. You're just a son of God. I mean, when I think about this, sometimes I have to stop thinking about it because it almost scares me that Jesus walking on the face of the earth had God in him just like we do right now and where we walk and where he walked. Like the story in Mark 11 where Jesus cursed fig tree. You know, Mark 11, 21, 22, and 23. We read it all the time, and we all preach on faith and curse fig tree and all. But you know, when Jesus saw the fig tree said it had leaves on it. And fig trees that had leaves in that season in Israel were supposed to have fruit. So when he went over there to it and it did not have any fruit on it, that was opposing the kingdom of God. God created fig trees to have leaves on them and produce a fruit. So it was opposing the kingdom. Or it wasn't functioning correctly in the kingdom. or it wasn't functioning correctly as God created it to function. Are y'all following me here? So Jesus had that relationship with his Father. He knew what the Word said, and he said, that thing's not supposed to be, so I curse you. Next day they come by, it's withered up and dried, died, and everybody goes, wow. There was a time in my life that I tried cursing trees to see if they died, just because I wanted to see if it worked. And I wanted to put it to practice, be like Jesus. And so I cursed things like, you know, like thorny bushes, you know, that things like that to see, you know, it never did work. I never did have one of them die. But the whole time I didn't really think it happened, because see, I wasn't really operating in faith, because I didn't really understand faith. I didn't really understand that that fig tree that Jesus cursed that day was opposing the kingdom of God. Now follow me here. Okay, so then what if something's going on in your life that's opposing the kingdom of God? What if something's going on in your life that isn't the way it should be? It isn't the way God intended? Then don't you have the right to stand up and get in agreement with God, just like Jesus got in agreement with God? And speak to it and say to it, wither and die my life, or whatever you need to do to get out of here, get out of here. Would that not be walking just like Jesus walked? But what do? We take it, we look at it, we analyze it, we talk to people about it, we try to get people in agreement about it to figure that this thing shouldn't be in our life, and we always forget about getting in agreement with God. Jesus didn't have any agreement with his disciples the day he cursed the fig tree. They weren't in agreement because they couldn't even believe he did it. So he was in agreement with God. That there's something going on out of place in the kingdom, and it shouldn't be there. So get rid of it. Y'all are all just looking at me so funny. I cannot imagine what y'all are thinking. It's kind of scary. I mean, this is deep stuff here. I mean, I'm plowing pretty deep tonight, but I'm just trying to get you to understand. My gosh, if we'll just get in agreement with God, what could he be? What amazing what he could do in our life. Why aren't we agreeing with the devil, agreeing with doctors, agreeing with Oprah, agreeing with, you know, everything else that there is in life out there to agree with? Why aren't we agreeing with all of that? You know, I mean, I know, you know, why aren't we agreeing with the financial situations? Why aren't we agreeing with what banks say or investment places say or whatever? I mean, there's wisdom, but again, folks, listen to me. You don't operate in the same plane as everybody else operates. I'm not saying to do something foolish, but I'm just saying you have to understand. You've got to get in agreement with your Heavenly Father, because that's whose kingdom we're in. That's where we're headed. That's the principles and the ways of operation is what the kingdom says about you. I mean, does it make any sense that you just believe in Jesus and you can be saved? I mean, why not have to jump through a fiery hoop or, you know, walk the coals of fire without having to get your feet singed or, you know, swim the English Channel and then you get to the other side, yes, he's saved, you know? Why not do some great, big, huge, giant feat to have earned your salvation? God said, no, I don't want it like that. I just want to, whoever will believe in him, I'll become a new creature. All things will pass away. All things will become new. You're like, that's all? So think about it. We take faith and we turn it into something. Well, I just don't, you know, I'm trying to produce faith. Like I said a while ago, like you're trying to make a tear happen, right? You're trying to produce it. Folks, listen to me. You either are in faith or you're not, meaning you either are believing or you're not. Either you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and he arose on the third day, and you do that because what's in your heart tells you, I believe that that's true. And you're really in faith when you can't be talked out of it. Years and years ago, when I was 15 or 16, I had a man who was an extremely good pistol shot teach me how to shoot. And I'll never forget the words he said to me. And it sounds kind of crazy, but he would tell me, he would say, "Don't look at your sights, look at the target." And I would say, "Well, how can I just look at the target? You've got to look at the sights of the gun." He said, "No, you've got to see where you're going to hit." And I remember shooting, trying to say, okay, and just, you know, pulling up and shooting, and God, I'd miss a target over here or there, you know, whatever. And I was just trying to stare at the target. And then finally one day, it clicked what he was saying. That if I looked where I wanted to hit, I was going to have the natural, my body was going to respond and everything was going to come about, that it was going to line itself up. And as I pointed and shot and I was looking where I wanted to hit, not at my sights, I would hit the target. And when I finally did it, I was like, wow, I hit. And then I was like, oh, okay, now I see what he's talking about. And then once I got to doing it, then it became just habit. It just was just a natural reflex. I'd go to shoots. I'd win all the time. Everybody said, I've never seen anybody shoot like you. And I was like, I just look at where I want to hit and I shoot it. You know, and they're like, what? And I said, yeah, you know, it clicked in me. Faith is the same way. Once you understand the simplicity of faith, that the same faith that you got saved with, that you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is the same faith we walk in every promise of the New Testament. It's the same principle. You're just getting in agreement with God. Okay, you say I'm more than a conqueror. Okay, well, I guess the situation in front of me, I can overcome it because you said I'm more than a conqueror. So if you said I'm more than a conqueror, I'm getting my faith aligned up to your face. I'm going to conquer it. And you didn't really have to eke out some, you know, long prayer and it just sort of, you know, until I finally get to that place. I do believe. Are y'all with me? It was just like that. You just did it. Just like, yep, okay. Because you're in agreement with what God says about you. You're obtaining the promises of God by simply believing what God said he wanted to give you, he wants to give you. I mean, can you imagine how ridiculous it must seem to God that if I'm standing here saying, Frank, I want to give you everything that I've got, everything you see here is yours, and you just stand there and say, I don't believe you're going to give me that. No, really, everything I have is yours. See, I said it over in this gospel and here and there and there and there and there. Here's all the words. Here, this is my promises to you. And you sit back and say, I don't know. I don't know if he's really means that or not. You think he really means that? You think God really means that? He said everything that I pray, he'd give me? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't you just, I mean, I'm surprised he just doesn't reach under and slap us. Right? And what happens to us, I believe, is because it's like something that needs to be cut out of our brains because we always think we have to earn it. Because in this world will give you nothing that you don't earn. Think about it. Everything we do, you go to work to do what? To earn money so you can take the money and buy the things you need, right? And then, you know, if you don't work, you don't get any money because that's what you're doing. You're trained this way from childhood. Lose your teeth. Go ahead, pull a tooth out and we'll give you some money. All right? I mean, don't we do that? Put the tooth under the pillow and the tooth fairy brings you money. You earned it. Lost a tooth. Everything we do, it's set up in the system, this world system, that we have to earn everything. But God says, I don't want you to earn it. I gave it all to you. Just believe me that I gave it to you. Just get in agreement with me. It's all yours. And there's something in us that says, nah, it's too easy. I don't know. Something seems fishy about this. Yeah, it's a trick. Yeah, I put my hand in the hole and the dill will clap down and I can't get it out. Something's fishy. It's too easy. Or it's too easy just to believe God is going to work in you, create in you. Just set in your agreement with Him. See, I bet some of y'all right now think, that's too easy. I'd rather earn it. Feel like I did something. You know, I tend to be that way myself. I tend to be that way that I want to earn it. Not even necessarily, I'm talking about Bible stuff. I'm talking about, you know, like a sense of gratification that I worked hard and I earned it. But then I've caught myself being jealous of somebody else that just, you know, won the lotto. And I thought, I don't even know. I hadn't seen the news here recently, but didn't the ticket sold for that $590 million or something like that? But nobody's claimed it. Isn't that right? A little lady did claim it. 84 years old. She needed that. See, there I go. I'm already mad at her. Well, I had seen a few days ago that nobody had claimed the ticket, and everybody in town was running around wondering who got who had it or whatever like that. And I thought to myself, wow, can you imagine somebody that just didn't look at that ticket, and it was like laying up on their dash or back in the back seat or something, and there was really a $590 million ticket there, and they didn't even know it? And when I was thinking about that, the Holy Ghost just hit me and said, yeah, all of heaven is everyone's, and their ticket's just laying around. It's like the streets in heaven are paved in gold. And if you look up that word, it doesn't mean paved like they got topped. There's solid gold. There's more than $590 million there in just a couple of blocks. But doesn't the scripture tell us in Ephesians 1 that you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? Didn't you already say it's already all yours? So there's more than $590 million. So however much you need, God's got more, and He wants to give it to you. But we always are sitting there thinking we got to earn it. When He really says, I just really want you to get in agreement with me. If you could just get in agreement with me and start confessing that you're in agreement with me, I'll make it all happen because I'm perfecting the work in you. It's a good word. If you'll just walk in it. If we just walk in it. So what I want to challenge you about is this. Start looking to yourself. Start looking at your prayers. Start looking at how you're viewing God, how you're viewing faith, how you're viewing what you're believing for, what's going on. And start getting in agreement with God on those situations. Start turning it around and saying, oh, wait a minute, God, what do you say about this situation? Okay, I'll be in agreement with you for that. Oh, everything that I put my hand to, you want it to prosper? Okay, God, I'm in agreement with you on that. That's a pretty good prayer. That's a real good prayer. So your list, the things that you have need of, you say, Lord, I think you're going to provide my need, because you said you wanted to prosper me in everything I put my hand to. So thank you, Lord. I'm in agreement with that. All of a sudden, everything changes. Because I don't know about y'all, I have a whole lot more confidence in God being able to bring something to pass than I have confidence in myself being able to bring something to pass. I'll tell y'all this last funny one. You know, I have some, in some areas of my life, I have the determination that of I don't know what, but I mean, I don't give up. And in other areas, I'm like a little fluffy lamb. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know how I can be so ravenous in certain areas of my life. In other areas, I'm just, I'm a fluff ball. So I've been really wrestling with myself because I'm trying to build my endurance, and so I wanted to exercise. And, you know, a passing thought. And so Tuesday, I got all fired up. And at the moment, I had this little workout in my head that I was going to go do, and I got all fired up about it, and I said, man, I better run and go do it now because if I let myself just even sit here for a moment, I'll talk myself out of it. I know I will. So I went and did it. And man, I got sore spots on me. And you can imagine now the verbiage going through my body, like, yeah, well, you did really good, stupid. Now you're so sore you can't hardly walk, you know, and yeah, really did you a lot of good, you know, anything. And so now I have like this other great mountain to fight to do it again. You know what I'm saying? But folks, we have got to get the determination to get this junk out of our head that does not line up with the Word of God. It's one thing to exercise. It's another thing not to outright believe the Word of God. And if God says you're more than a conqueror, then it's time to get in agreement with Him. And quit listening to the thought and of your insecurities, of your infirmities, your weaknesses. Quit listening to that garbage. It's time to rise up and say, no, God, I want to know what you say about me, and I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to get in agreement with you, and I believe you can bring that about in my life. Now you got your own personal trainer there with you. Right? So do that. Challenge yourself. Look in those areas of your life. See what's going on in your life, and then dive in. Say, Lord, I'm in agreement with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.